The scripture lessons for the morning begin in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where we read the words of Moses about being a prophet. And then in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, which is the same gospel lesson as last week. But the lectionary wasn't finished with its thought, and so neither are we. That, too, is about Jesus demonstrating his role as a prophet. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' And the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. And I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. You may say to yourselves, 'How can we recognize a word that the Lord has not spoken?' If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it." And then in the first chapter of Mark, we see Jesus in his role as prophet. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All of us hear and see and evaluate prophets daily. And these daily prophets are telling us the truth as they see it. Now, we may not think of them as prophets, but anyone who interprets life for us, who says this is how it is and how it will be or how it ought to be, that person is being a prophet. And it happens daily. Newspaper columnists, reporters, TV and radio commentators do not just tell us the facts. Their views include their way of seeing the truth. Now, you can notice this sometimes if you hear a pause at just a certain spot or they raise an eyebrow. It might not even be a conscious effort, but seldom, if ever, do we get facts without interpretation. Authors of popular books shape our thinking, sometimes even our culture. Friends suggest to us all the time how we ought to think and how we ought to feel. Advertisers tell us what we ought to buy. And doctors and lawyers and counselors and preachers dare to fill the role of prophets when they say, "This is how it is, and this is what will happen." Celebrities influence our lives, from hairstyles to speech patterns. statesmen and diplomats and politicians all say to us, now the truth of the matter is this, and this is what's going to happen in the role of a daily prophet. But how do we know who to believe? And how can we be sure? Whose truth are we going to accept? Think about the news. Is Scott Pelley better than Brian Williams? And is Brian Williams less partial than Wolf Blitzer? And what happens when Dr. X doesn't agree with Dr. Y, or Reverend Q and Reverend Z have totally different interpretations of what looks like a very straightforward scripture passage? Sometimes we just don't know why. A long time ago, I took the Pepsi challenge. Remember that on television? Quite a long time ago. There were unmarked cups. One had Pepsi, one had Coke, and you had to taste them both and say which one you liked. Now, I prefer Coke to Pepsi. Always have, still do. I took the Pepsi challenge, and I picked the Pepsi. You can't even trust your own taste buds. But on more important issues, which of the prophets of today are we going to accept or use as a basis for life, as a basis for our decisions, as a basis for our understanding? Because we're exposed to daily prophets all the time. Well, our Old Testament lesson has the answer. It said there's a test for a prophet and for any prophet's teaching. Now, that's important. Because prophets teach us about life. That's their job. They are not fortune tellers who predict what will happen before it does. Prophets are forth tellers. Since this is true, this is what else is true, and that will bring about such and such a result. So the test for a true prophet is whether or not what he or she teaches about life is true. In other words, if a prophet's authentic, he or she will very properly explain the will of God so that we can understand it. Now, the will of God is the basic truth of all of life, and a true prophet is going to help us see that. A true prophet will teach us that. In a word, how do you judge a prophet? Results. You see, the results of what a prophet says or does sometimes, that's the reason we accept or reject the prophet. We trust those who have proved themselves. Now, a Gallup poll is worth more than some local radio station's man-on-the-street interview of two people. Or Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, affects the economy more by what he says because of what he knows than some call to the psychic network or an after-dinner fortune cookie. It's a matter of past history and results. That's the test. Now, in our Christianity, in the living of our Christian lives, we have to deal with daily prophets the very same way. We look for results. Is their declaring, their forth-telling, true? What happens after they say it? Is it the way they say it is? Martin Luther was a prophet. He said there changes needed to be made in the church and that it would work. It did. Here we are. John Calvin said, people's basic nature needs to be changed by grace, nothing less and nothing more. And we're here because we found that to be true. Other prophets have said, oh, the world is going to end at such and such a time, and it didn't. They were false. Maybe even guilty of testing God and trying to force his hand. And every generation has had prophets like that. This is the end of the church if they print the Bible in a common language. The church is going to end if they allow musical instruments to be used. It's over if they allow women to preach. It's over if they don't do it the way they always did it, and if they don't do the way I say is right. Well, the truth of the matter is that Jesus said the very gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, which means it's not about to fade and it's not about to die. And after more trials and tribulations, unholy, holy wars, and holy people that the world called unholy, from John the Baptist to John Knox, it appears that we can trust Jesus, and not simply because he's Jesus, it's because he's been right. The church has endured some really hard knocks, scandals, but it's still here. And Jesus' teaching, his prophetic teaching, is supported by results. Look again at the gospel lesson. We read, the people were astounded by Jesus' teachings, his being a prophet. Then came the test, the man with the unclean spirit, the results. Be still, come out of him. And notice what the people asked. What is this new teaching or prophecy or truth-telling? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey. Talk about results. And you and I are no different. Think about it. Could we believe without results, the resurrection, the faith of family and friends in good times and bad, the life of the church where we see missions accomplished and people cared for and lives changed? Without that, could we believe? Would we? No. We have come to believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life because of the results. And we confess there is nothing more true, more basic than that, and what that entails or means. It all shakes out of that bedrock statement about our faith that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does. So where does all that leave us on this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany? Since we know that truth, that teaching of how it is and therefore how it's going to be, it means that you and I are daily prophets, teachers of both those inside and outside the faith. And we have to, because we believe there is no clearer statement of God's truth, of his teaching, than Jesus Christ. We have to confess that before others, because there are thousands of other prophets, daily prophets, hawking their wares, and the world is testing every one of them, looking for results. Now, maybe that afflicted man in the New Testament lesson, some have said, maybe he had a severe form of epilepsy, which we now understand and we can treat. Others have said, well, it was some sort of violent, hysterical reaction, and we certainly don't understand that yet. Whatever it was, the people were frightened. And the results of Jesus' command were so evident and so good that they believed what else he had to say. And their fear of demons was diminished. So what are our demons? The demons of today that we really can't handle by ourselves and that we don't fully understand. There's the fear that life is evil and not good. We want to believe it's good and not evil, but there's this fear it's the other way around. there's a kind of a formless anxiety that just smothers happiness. There's constant insecurity. What if I fail? There's guilt. I've done something that's ruined my life and it can't be fixed. There's a sense of unfulfillment and a kind of uselessness. Those are real demons. Now, can the world see and hear and feel that we're dealing with those demons? As daily prophets, before the world, we, in the name of Christ, have to be prophetic and teach about confidence that God is good and He's stronger than evil. That's the same thing Jesus was teaching. We have to talk about comfort, that God knows our sorrows and He is at work to overcome them. Is it finished? No. But is God on our side? Yes. We have to demonstrate strength to fight evil and its temptations to easy solutions to our problems. We have to show forgiveness for the failures of others and even for our own failures. And we have to demonstrate the mission and the satisfaction that comes with doing God's will, what we know of it, and as best we can. In other words, do others see that you and I are dealing with life by means of our own confession, Christianity? Do our neighbors feel comfortable and at ease with us because we have a lifestyle that comes from knowing and living by means of the truth and the truths, Jesus Christ, as prophet, has taught us? Now, no prophet other than Jesus Christ, who is also our priest and our king, no prophet knows it all. But with what we do know, can we share that with other people? We must. We have to be daily prophets. And so we have to ask, what am I teaching? Because the scripture lessons demonstrate that teaching is the major part of prophecy. What are we teaching those people with whom we come in contact? To do that, we have to ask of ourselves, what results do they see in us so that they can believe? And we are daily prophets when we take that little bit of time to listen first and then to ask good questions, and that is to ask questions about good. Why do you feel that way? Is a very honest, gentle way to be a prophet. When we speak up to compliment others' good, we are being prophets. Who ever said that a prophet had to be negative? When we stop someone from being unkind, either by being kind first as a kind of example or suggesting another way, we're being prophets. When we raise issues that may be very personal and very private in ways that allow other people to think and then act, rather than to just react, we're being prophets. And when we allow issues and not personalities to be discussed, we're being prophets. From major social issues like abortion and health care to personal integrity and inner peace, we need to listen to the prophets we hear all around us. And then we need to be prophets for today who follow after and speak for Jesus Christ. Sometimes we'll disagree with other people. We don't have to be disagreeable. But we do have to be faithful to our prophet and our priest and our King Jesus Christ, who does call us, all of us, to be daily prophets. Amen. Let us pray. As your word speaks to us, empowered by the Spirit, we dare to speak to the world, O Lord, when you empower us by the same Spirit. Grant us both the wisdom to be kind and the courage to be brave that we need to be your prophets. Keep us from pride and give us grace. For Jesus' sake and ours. Amen.